Nerds, you're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode!
Welcome back, you're listening to the Gamercore podcast, a podcast that talks the 8-bit shit. And we also rage quit on here from time to time. But as always, it is your nerd Chicano here to host the show alongside my wonderful host, Random Germ 101. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, Ashley's not here today because she's stuck at work, but it's okay.
She's the only one with video game knowledge. Help us.
That's the downside. We'll gladly host for you, Ashley, but chances are that this is going to sound like a bunch of dumbasses talking about literally nothing they know.
What's a Pokemon?
So this is good because this episode's actually happening, but bad for you guys because you guys have to listen to us for at least an hour and 15 minutes, I guess. So that's going to be fun. But hello, Brad. How are you doing today?
Doing all right, Roel. I'll let you know when we get to the Sea of Thieves news.
Well, uh-huh. Shout out to Alex for the new art, Brad. It's pretty fucking cool. Loving it.
Yeah, all of it.
Yeah, completely revamped feed, man. Even the Weaves have a new art for them. But it still has the little guy on there, so it's all good.
I kind of want to ask for a young Yoda one, but, I know she's busy and stuff, so.
Dude, she literally makes these at 2 a.m. I'll put in the good word for you, man.
Yeet.
Yeah. What's it called? She makes them at 2 a.m. for nothing, dude. It's like, yeah.
My Twitter needs an upgrade.
Young Yoda. Well, I'll ask her what's up, man. But, yeah, thank you, Alex, for the wonderful, she's listening to this. Thank you, Alex, for the wonderful revamp of the feed. It's awesome, and I'm loving it.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a 2-year-old made it anymore. Raul made it anymore.
Fuck you, Brad. You know.
Hey, it worked. It got the job done for a while.
It did. Until we had a new revamp, new look. We were doing pretty good with the listens, so obviously they didn't care that much about the design.
You know, it helps though. I mean, it's like when he upgraded from using your phone to actual equipment. It's just an upgrade. Just a good thing.
Story is all that matters, kids. That's what I tell everybody when I play video games. Story's all that matters too. But yeah, thank you, Alex. You're wonderful. And you can go follow her at Alex Almond Design on Instagram and Twitter. Tell her what's up. Raul and Brad sent you. Tell them that you're awesome. And we love your art that you make for the show. Look, it's a new month, my friends. It's gonna be May. And I need to tell you
it's gonna be May. Sorry.
Yeah, I need to tell you all about the new games coming out this month. So there's a PSVR game coming out in the 7th. It's called Ghost Giant Retailer. On May 14th for the Xbox One, PC, and PS4, you can get Rage 2. On May 21st, you'll get Team Sonic Racing for the PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. And then finally, on May 28th, you'll get Little Friends, Dogs, and Cats for the Switch. That's pretty cool. Yeah, Rage 2 is the one that looks really, really good. Brad, we talked about that when there was a E3, when we did our E3 episode not so long ago.
Yeah, it looked really, really good.
Soon it's going to be the anniversary of E3. That means the anniversary of the GamerCore, too. So we're going to get to do some E3 predictions soon, and we'll do some E3 recaps as well. But yeah, Rage 2 looked really good, man. And last week came out Mortal Kombat 11. I hope everybody enjoyed that. There's also a game that's coming out that wasn't talked about at E3, but had a big hype around it when it got announced not too long ago, like last 2 weeks ago. Borderlands 3. We're gonna talk about the reveal at the end of the episode when we do our discussion. But yeah, Brad, what have you been playing this week?
No Man's Sky. So nice. I've been trying to get back into that. and basically farm my life away.
Yeah. Dude, guess what I finally finished?
What?
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. You finished Spider-Man before you finished the other one that you should have finished.
Life is Strange?
Yeah.
I just finished finals, so, you know, I'm going to start getting to playing all my games that I haven't finished. I'm getting ready to cry with Life is Strange.
Although, yeah, Life is Strange is a bit more depressing.
Yeah, so, you know, it's not easy getting to play something that honestly makes me fucking sad. Because where I finished off, it was already a fucking part that made me sad, dude. So,
you know. The whole game's sad, so.
Yeah, so.
I mean, but it's a really good story.
So yeah, that's true.
I think everyone needs to pick it up, certainly because it's on sale right now, I'm pretty sure. Or it's not that expensive in the first place.
Yeah. Well, everybody needs to go play Spider-Man. This game was fucking fantastic, dude. Honestly, man.
Look, so did you get like 100%?
No,
I'm
not
done. Is
that
what you're trying to do, or did you just beat the story?
I beat the main story. I'm still doing my 100%, but I want to get the what's it called, the DLC. I don't have money right now, but it's only $25 on PlayStation Store. But, yeah, dude, I am honestly so happy with this game. It was so good. And then the ending to the story, oh my god. And then the game has a fucking post-credit scene. And
really?
Hype, bro. Fucking hyped post-credit scene.
Kingpin?
No. Kingpin is in the game, though. He's the first one you fight.
That makes sense.
Yeah, you fight Fisk first. Yeah, so I'm really, really enjoyed it. The mechanics, everything about this game, dude. I really, really liked it. And honestly, man, if I would have finished it by last year... wait, did it come out last year? I think it did come out last year. If it did come out last year, then this would have been my game of the year for sure.
I think it did come out last year.
Yeah, because I think it was still my first semester.
Because I've been waiting for that price to fucking drop.
Yeah, September 7, 2018, man.
Yep.
Honestly, Brad, the sooner you can get... You know, even if it goes down to like $30, man, I really recommend you to buy it.
That's what I've been waiting for, and it's touched like 40 right now.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting for it just to go that little extra bit, and then I'll grab it.
Yeah, it's so good, Brad. It's so good. Plus, I'm still trying to finish up all the little side stuff, trying to get all my suits, but... It's awesome, man. I really, really enjoyed it. I think they did such a great job with the story and an amazing score for it too. It literally like it's so good, man. I can't stop, you know, praising this game so much.
That's good. Glad you enjoyed it. Yeah. And yeah, I gotta try and make some money back from all the money I spent on Destiny. Thank you, Bungie.
Oh man. Well, look, man. Yeah, that's that. I'm pretty sure that Ashley has been playing Dragalia Lost, so, you know.
Did she ever get her phone fixed? She never really went into that. I'm guessing she got her phone fixed.
I hope she did, bro. But, Jesus, man, how are you? I don't fucking get how she fucking broke her phone, dude.
I mean, it's like guys with credit cards are old, just women break their phones in every way possible.
And we guys, we lose our credit cards.
Yeah, lose your credit cards, break your credit cards. That's why Amazon sent me a fucking metal one.
Oh, man.
Yeah, break this motherfucker. Like, yeah, sweet.
Sweet, yeah, man. Lose this motherfucker. Literally, just use a metal detector. You'll find it.
Yeah. You're going to knock out small children and puppies with it.
Nice. Feel you like a batarang, Brad. It's like a batarang.
That's what they needed. They need a batarang credit card so I can just throw it.
Like, yeah.
It automatically pays and comes back to me.
Yeah. Chip or swipe? You decide.
Swipe. Always swipe.
All right. Well, let's get into some news, dude. From Kevin Nezovic from GameSpot.com. Pokemon
that
Go.
That name sounds familiar.
Yeah. Pokemon Go adds wild legendary Pokemon for first time. So, Origin Form Giratina may no longer be available in Pokemon Go, but some new legendaries have taken in place in the hit mobile game. The Lake Trio from the Pokemon Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum, Azelf, Mesprit, and Uxie have begun appearing around the world, and this time you won't need to battle them in raids. Nice. Unlike most other legendaries to appear in Pokemon Go, Azelf, Mesprit, and Uxie aren't available as raid bosses. Rather, the legendaries are spawning in the wild like typical Pokemon. However, as befits their status, the Pokemon are quite rare, so the odds of running into one are fairly low. However, it appears to each Pokemon is currently available in a specific part of the world. Azelf is only appearing in the Americas in Greenland. Mesprit is available in Europe, and Uxie is currently spawning in the Asia-Pacific region. Well, how the fuck am I ever going to go get those Pokemon if they're only in certain areas? Just as in the mainline games, the legendaries also repeatedly appear near bodies of water. It's unclear how long the new Pokemon will appear and go, but legendaries typically hang around approximately a month before Niantic cycles them out for new Pokemon. With the reports that each one is only available in a certain area, it seems likely that the legendaries will swap regions before they leave the game entirely. Azelf, Mesprit, and Uxie aren't the only legendaries currently available in Pokemon Go. Groudon has also returned to the game for a limited time as one of the game's Earth Day bonuses. On top of the ground type, Pokemon are spawning more frequently than normal, and Shiny Diglett is appearing for the first time. However, Earth Day bonuses will only be live until May 2nd. Okay, yeah. I also saw that they were bringing some new legendaries like Ho-Oh for the next cycle, but I'm really excited that the lake Pokemon are coming in, but I hate the fact that only some of them are available in certain regions. Like, come on, man. I'm not going to go to fucking Asia just to get a Uxie. Come on, man.
Come on, bro. You ain't going to put the money down? Go nah, for a flight?
Nah, bro. Not for Pokemon.
You ain't going to put that cash down and go get you a legendary?
Oh, man.
Man, you are not a true trainer. Yeah. You should be ashamed.
Unless Niantic wants us to do like videos of us trying to catch Pokemon in Asia, then go ahead and email us at thenerdcorepod@gmail.com.
Dude, bro, we will accept your cash and plane tickets.
Yeah, thank we you. Will accept them all. We'll literally do a podcast series about us catching Pokemon in Asia. 100%.
I will literally download the app.
Yeah. And as for the spam accounts sending us emails telling us to send money to them, we're not doing it.
Plus, we ain't got no money.
I have so much fun reading those spam emails, Brad. They're great. Honestly, man. Like, some of them are just fucking hilarious.
I haven't seen any. Where are they coming to? Are they coming to, like, the Instagram account?
No, go to the email and you go to the junk. You find, like, all of them, dude. They're hilarious. But look, let's go ahead and move on to the next piece of news. Ghost Recon Wildlands Operation Oracle adds new story content from Jeremy Winslow from GameSpot.com. A new update will bring a launch of fresh missions to Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands Operation Oracle. The third-person co-op shooter's latest update arrives in the beginning of May and also comes with two unique rewards of those that successfully pull off the new missions. Operation Oracle lands on PC, PS4, and Xbox One on May 2nd. It will introduce two new missions, playable in solo or co-op, to extract a Skull Tech engineer arrested by Unidad. Here, you'll meet a fellow Ghost Recon leader, Major Cole D. Walker, who's a little shifter than your average ghost. You can watch the reveal trailer below. Operation Oracle is accessible immediately after finishing Wildlands' first mission. Head to Montuyuk, marked on the game's TAC map, to start the operation. Once finished, you'll earn two unique rewards. Walker's bracelet, which equips a new CQC finisher, and Walker's tattoo for added style points. I didn't put this in here because Recon Wildlands. I just put in this because this game is old, dude. Like, we're talking about, this came out around the same time that Siege came out. And they're still putting out content for this, dude. It just goes to show that if you care about your game, you're going to keep putting shit out for it, and it's going to work well for you both ways.
And let's admit this. That is not fucking Walker. That's motherfucking Frank Castle. It's like Frank Castle to the T.
Yeah.
It's even the same actor. Motherfucking Frank Castle, the Punisher.
Yeah. What's it called?
Don't be lying to me.
Ghost Recon Wildlands looks like a really fun game. It always sounded like a really fun concept, you know, just, what's it called, going around certain countries and, like, basically destabilizing cartel cartel-controlled areas, and you get to play with your buddies, too. And it sounds like a really cool idea if I only had money to buy it. But, yeah, I'm glad they keep on adding content to it, dude. This looks pretty fucking cool.
They can't fool me, Raul.
That is John Bernthal, isn't it? Dude, that is John Bernthal.
It's John Bernthal. They can't fool me. That's the motherfucking Punisher. That's the motherfucking Juggernaut.
Motherfucking Juggernaut, bitch. Yeah. Well, this should be interesting, Brad. Why?
Mom about to get out and be like, the fuck?
Yeah, man. Yeah, okay.
His name's Walker.
From GameSpot. GameSpot.com from Eddie McCooch.
McCooch.
A Saints Row movie is happening with Fate of the Furious director. F. Gary Gray is directing the Saints Row movie. Yet another video game is getting spun into a movie. Deadline reports that a film based on Saints Row is in development with F. Gary Gray attached to direct. Gray directed Straight Outta Compton, The Fate of the Furious, and the upcoming Men in Black International. Hey, at least he has one hit. I really loved Straight Outta Compton, Brad.
I think they're all hits, Raul. That's just the one you liked.
What? Did you like Fate of the Furious?
I don't remember Fate of the Furious, so funny. Shows you. But it was a hit.
Yeah.
I mean, duh. But Straight Outta Compton was amazing.
Greg Russo is writing the script. It's at least his second video game job, as he's writing the script for the Mortal Kombat reboot movie in the works at Warner Bros. The movie's produced...
Is this the same Russo as in the Russo Bros?
No. That's Anthony and Joe.
Okay.
The movie is produced in part by Coach Films, a division of Coach Media, which owns Deep Silver and the rights to Saints Row. THQ previously held the rights, but Coach Media secured the rights, and developer Volatone out of THQ's bankruptcy auction. Last year, Volatone and Saints Row returned to THQ, sort of, when THQ Nordic, which itself acquired the THQ name, acquired Coach Media and all of its assets. The Saints Row movie has been in the works for a long time. Back in 2009, the rapper 50 Cent announced that he was working on a Saints Row movie when the franchise was with THQ. There's been 4 main Saints Row games so far, but it's not clear if the story will be based on any plot from the franchise or something else entirely new. Also unknown is who will star in it, when production may begin, and when it could be released. In Hollywood, projects tend to get announced and take a long time to materialize, if they ever do. Yeah. But then we get those glimmering shines of light, like the Dark Tower series, Brad. Like, oh, look, it's actually going to start. So, we'll see.
Yay!
Brad, have you played?
I've never played a Saints Row game.
Well, my friend,
That's because I've played Grand Theft Auto.
Well,
and I've always heard Saints Row is like a more insane Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, you can beat people up with dildos in Saints Row.
Nice! Nice! Hopefully the big ones.
Dude, I am so unaware of why this is happening, and I don't know how you could make this
money.
I don't know how you can make this, man, without having to use like the really weird shit from Saints Row.
I mean, they probably will.
I think this is the same reason why nobody made a Grand Theft Auto movie.
Well, yeah, I mean, not much of a story going on, really, unless you like hookers and blow. So, other than the latest Grand Theft Auto, I would say that had a lot of story elements to it, which weren't bad.
Yeah,
it was a lot longer game too. Mm-hmm. But still, I'm just turned off by the idea of video game movies,
except for Detective Pikachu.
Except for Detective Pikachu, that one does look rad, and mm-hmm. every trailer has been good so far. So we'll see. But like, the Max Payne, they could have done so much better. So mm-hmm. much better. It's hard to blame Mark Wahlberg on that, just because I think you would have made a good Max Payne. It was fucking horrible. Like, the story made no sense, and that's what I feel like this would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, because this is literally all about mostly gangs and shit, man. Like, I don't know what they could bring to it, but F. Gary Gray has made a really good movie called Straight Outta Compton that I love, and I'm really excited for Men in Black International, so, you know, I mean, I think he can do it.
I don't know why he would attach his name to a Saints Row game, though.
I don't know.
It seems weird.
Yeah. Saints Row is really out there, man.
Yeah.
So, I mean, man, look, we'll see what's up, but I'm really interested in to see what he can do with this. But
explosions. Michael Bay. Michael Bay it.
Yeah. It basically, look, what's it called? It tells the story of a gang called the Third Street Saints. The title comes from the name of the district of the gang's home territory. Typically, gameplay is presented in an open-world format because of the mixture of non-linear gameplay with action-adventure and racing sequences. The series is known for its comedic elements. The game's stories are written as comedies that feature popular culture homages, and parodies, as well as self-referential humor. After completing reflection, okay, no, that's something else. Yeah, but it's mostly like gang stuff, dude. So I don't know how they could take this into it, but you know what? I mean, he can do it, man, and see what he can do with it. You know, I don't like to judge projects before they come out unless I've seen something from that has led me to steer that judgment.
Show me the trailer.
Yeah. Definitely won't have a dildo beating. All right, but look, this is something that's really, this is something that is pretty interesting to me because, you know, Gamescom is a big convention, dude. And the fact that Blizzard won't be attending it, that's really weird.
Yeah, it's kind of like when Sony pulled out of E3, just kind of weird.
Yeah, dude. So Blizzard won't attend Gamescom, one of the biggest gaming shows on Earth. Blizzard isn't headed to Germany for the big show. By Eddie McCooch over at GameSpot.com. Blizzard, the gaming giant behind franchises like World of Warcraft, Diablo, and Overwatch, will not attend Gamescom this year. The company said in a statement that it's not attending the show in Cologne, Germany, as part of its renewed effort in 2019 to focus on game development. Blizzard plans to return to Gamescom someday, but it's not clear when. As part of a renewed effort this year to maintain our focus on development for our current games and our future projects, we won't have a booth at Gamescom 2019, Blizzard said. The show is an important one for the European and global gaming community, and we're going to miss meeting players in Cologne this year. You'll still be able to find Blizzard gear in the Gamescom 2019 shop area, and we're looking forward to returning to the Gamescom show floor in the future. Blizzard also teases in a statement that it is eager to talk about upcoming unannounced projects when the time is right. The confirmation of Blizzard dropping out of Gamescom comes just days after the company announced a bigger presence in BlizzCon 2019. The company has even more activities planned for the event, and seemingly as a result, ticket prices are going up. This sounds like the good old case of the why do we have to go to these other conventions when we can just keep building ours, like PlayStation doing, you know, PS Experience, or Xbox doing theirs now, you know, like what's you know, there, it sounds like that. And also it also sounds like we have literally nothing to announce, so why are we gonna go waste time and go over there when we can just start working on our shit?
And I really think it's more the latter.
Yeah.
In that instance, because why wouldn't you want more eyes on it? Why wouldn't you want to release it? Does it really take that much to go out to Gamescom, set up a booth, and be like, yo, here's a shit?
It's not that much of a dent in your money, especially when you're the fucking developers of Overwatch.
Yeah, especially fucking Blizzard.
Yeah. So I really do think that they just have nothing to show, so what's the point of going?
That's what we said with Sony at E3, at least my opinion.
Yeah.
Is they didn't really have anything coming out. The last E3 they went to, I think they showed The Last of Us, which got some big hype.
Last of Us Part 2, yeah.
And so they haven't... But I don't think Sony's going to have anything out till PlayStation 5, to be honest.
Well, I don't have this article on here, but they did talk about the PlayStation 5. It says that it's more than a year away. So,
okay, I take that back because Cyberpunk 2077 is coming out. So yeah, there is that.
Yeah. I have a feeling that not this next E3, but the following will finally get... Well, look, probably even after this next E3, we'll finally get a, you know, release date for Cyberpunk 2077. As for Last of Us Part 2, I feel like that's going to be the last PS4 game to come out. And Death Stranding...
Yeah, it'll be.
I have a feeling that shit's going to be PS5.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I'm excited for what this could be, dude. And, you know, look, Blizzard has the right. They're making way more money than most of these developers that actually go every year. So, you know, if they have nothing to show, then honestly, man, that's a good thing because, you know, just wait a bit and just, you know, keep on doing what you're doing, Blizzard. You seem to be doing the right thing. All right, Brad. I need to go get my computer charger real quick, Brad, but can you read the next article from GameSpot.com? GameStop.com's Steve Watts.
Steve Watts presents Rocket League developer to be acquired by Epic Games. Oh, shit. Epic got the money, now they're going to get the games. Rocket League developer Psyonix has announced that it is joining the Epic Games family with an acquisition expected to close in late May or early June. In an FAQ, the studio sought to reassure current Rocket League fans that nothing will change about their day-to-day enjoyment of the popular game. In the short term, it says nothing about the game will change. It is still moving forward with its update roadmap and plans to continue for as long as you'll have us. In the long term, Psyonix says it does plan to bring the game to the Epic Games Store and to use leverage granted by this acquisition to grow the game in ways we couldn't do on our own before. Part of that could mean changes to esports, which Rocket League has become known for. Psyonix says this increases our potential reach and resources. It also hints that it could start to explain future esports plans next month at its Rocket League Championship Series set to run June 21st through the 23rd. Finally, Psyonix says it's the same team we've always been, suggesting that layoffs or other staff rearrangement isn't being planned for the immediate future. Rocket League has been a mainstay since launch, even helping push for cross-platform support. It has sustained its success partially on loot boxes, the practice of which recently came under scrutiny. As a result, Psyonix had to pull the transactions from a couple of countries. Belgium, we see you. Meanwhile, Epic Games has been making aggressive moves recently. On top of the mega success of Fortnite, it has been challenging Steam with its own Epic Game Store, including offering regularly rotating free games. The rapid success of Steam has reportedly led to a crunch culture at the studio, however, which Epic has conceded in part.
All right, man. This is nuts, dude.
Epic got the bank.
Dude, so
no surprise.
There's no surprise that fucking Epic is coming to play, dude. It has been wild because we look back at Epic and they had a game that had a really nice community with it, but it wasn't a well-performing game. Then all of a sudden they make Fortnite and look where they're at now, dude. It's absolutely nuts, dude. And now we're talking about grabbing the developers of one of the biggest games right now. I mean, this is some of the biggest esports community as well.
Yeah, I mean, only takes one game, and Fortnite is like a totally different. It just blew up.
Yeah,
you can't really compare it to much else. Mm-hmm. It's kind of in its own bubble, and it just keeps continuing growing and keeps gaining support from the community.
Yeah, well, I mean, even Disney has a partnership with them, dude.
Yeah,
it's crazy, man. It's crazy. But yeah, this is awesome, dude, and I really hope that they, you know, I really hope for the best from Epic. By the way, I was reading an article that I didn't put in here as well, but the whole stuff with the Epic Store, that they'll put on, what's it called, they'll put games from Steam. I believe they said that they were going to put games from Steam if Steam would change the way that they do their avenue. Hold up. Let me see if I got that correctly. Because it's been a big thing going on with Steam and the Epic Store. Yes, wait. So, Brad, now that they bought Rocket League developers, you think that's coming from off the Steam Store?
Yeah, I think I heard that it would be coming to the Steam Store.
Holy shit. We're coming off the Steam Store, man. Oh, yeah. Man.
I mean, why wouldn't they?
Yeah, I mean, true, man. I mean, you really got it set like that, dude. Like, if you have your exclusivity with the Epic Games Store, then people are going to want to use it, especially for a game as big as Rocket League.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, man. I do not have this article here on me, but it was something interesting about the whole Epic and Steam fiasco going on right now. Let me see if I got a... Oh, God. article. If I can't find it right now, then I'm wasting
time. For those tuning in, be sure to take the time and listen to this ad from our sponsor, Anchor.
All right. Thank you for coming back. I still haven't found the article, Brad, but thank you for doing that. Fucking asshole. And you thought that was going to, you know, help me find the ad or something?
Well, I figured like a good time while you just humming there. So thank you, Ashley, for giving us a great ad. And thank you to our sponsor, Anchor.
Yeah.
Love your product.
Your wonderful voice, Ashley. You are we miss you today. But we also love that you have such a great voice for making these ads. They're great.
Yeah, because we suck at it.
Yeah, we really fucking suck at it, dude. But, I mean, look, man, there is...
What article are you looking for?
It was something about the... here we go, baby. Epic Boss says exclusive policy will change if Steam adjusts their revenue share. So, I'm going to really... I'm just going to read the quote. So, what's it called? Because I just wanted to talk about this. I know I didn't put it on the structure here. But if Steam committed to a permanent 88% revenue share for all developers and publishers without major strings attached, Epic would hastily organize a retreat from exclusives while honoring our partner commitments and consider putting our own games on Steam. Sweeney wrote, "Such a move would be a glorious moment in the history of PC gaming and would have a sweeping impact on other platforms for generations to come." So they're literally saying, Steam, fork over the money or we're not doing shit.
Yep. Give me the loot.
Can you really blame them, dude?
No.
No.
Give me the loot.
Yeah, man.
Our game, give me the money.
It's my fucking game. You know, give me the fucking money.
Give me money.
All right, Brad. Well, we've reached your next article, Brad. Go ahead and read that.
I ain't doing it.
You're fucking doing it and you're going to do it.
I'm not doing it.
I don't give a shit what you don't want to do, Brad. You're reading it. Now go and read it and you're going to like it.
I don't want it.
You're doing it.
Uh-uh. Nope.
Brad?
Mm-mm.
If you don't fucking read this, you're fired.
Okay. And who else is going to replace me?
This is your bit, Brad. Do it.
By Jeremy Winslow. Sea of Thieves gets huge anniversary update. There she blows. It's been over years since we released Sea of Thieves. To celebrate, the online co-op pirate adventure is getting a substantial anniversary update that will introduce a new mode, a new storyline, and more. The update adds the arena, a mode where you compete against other crews across 6 different maps. Competing will net you achievements and items such as commendations, titles, cosmetics, and more, all through the Sea Dogs faction. You can also purchase sets like the Glorious Sea Dog from the Sea Dog Tavern in between competitions. Through the Bard Merrick comes the Hunter's Call, a new company where you can earn commendations and rewards, tattoo and makeup cosmetics, items, liveries, and more for completing hunting, fishing, and cooking challenges. Sea of Thieves will also see a bevy of new wildlife, from unique fish to formidable beasts. Combine the raw meat with the plethora of new rare fruit to concoct novel recipes.
I thought that said coconut.
Coconut? What?
I thought that said coconut, but it's
coconut. No, that's concoct.
I didn't know that, bro.
How are they going on a coconut novel? Never mind. The biggest part of the anniversary update is the new storyline. The Shores of Gold tasks you with investigating a fabled lost island. The storyline brings new gameplay additions such as collector's chest and enchanted tools. Ooh. And you unlock new commendations and rewards upon completion, but you'll have to battle new skeleton lords first. Ooh, my favorite. The anniversary update weighs in at approximately 8 gigabytes across all 3 platforms, PC, Xbox One, and Xbox One X, and addresses a variety of performance-related issues as well. You can view the full patch notes below. And if you know this article, you can view them.
All right, man. That was great. Brad, I'm sorry, Brad.
That hurt me a little.
It's a bit. It's your bit, Brad. You read anything about Sea of Thieves. Just like I complain about Venom anytime I can complain about it. It's your bit, and I'm sorry.
Well, I'm saying it with a smile on my face from now on, even though it just kills me in the inside.
Splish, splash, I was taking a bath. All right, well, you know, that's just literally for the bit. We don't give a shit about Sea of Thieves, so I'm just going to
move on.
It's for the bit, dude. This is awesome, Brad. This next piece of news is really awesome. From Eddie Makuch at GameSpot.com, Nintendo Switch Online reaches almost 10 million subscribers.
Whew.
Yeah, so they confirmed that 9.8 million people have signed up for the paid program since the service launched back in September. Not even a whole fucking year yet, Brad.
Well, that's what happens when you offer a really great service at a really good price. Like $20 a year?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's crazy. And then on top of that, they keep updating it with all these great old games
mm-hmm.
that give you the nostalgia feels and introduces, you know, the younger players to, hey, you yeah. know, this is what we used to make. And yeah, you can totally play this. Yeah. And thanks for the $20.
Also in the report, Nintendo called out Tetris 99 as a success story for Switch Online. The game is free, but it requires a Switch Online membership. And so far, the game has been played by 2.8 million accounts. The title helps improve overall engagement on Nintendo Switch, the company said.
So 10 million subscribers are all, and I think the lowest tier is $20.
Yeah.
I think, other than the family plan. So that means that Nintendo has made on this almost $200 million.
Yeah. And
or it has made over $200 million.
Even the family pack is a really good deal for what for somebody who, yes. like, if... That would if somebody has a family of people who uses Nintendo Switch, then dude, it's such a good plan.
Yeah, I mean $20 a year. That's like less than you spend at freaking Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
Way less.
So this is awesome, man. And it's only gonna get even better when if that cheaper Switch model comes out.
Oh yeah.
And look. This is a service that works out so well for them in their favor. And honestly, man, like, this is what happens when you give an affordable service with really, really good incentives for becoming a subscriber.
If only I had a Switch.
You still haven't gotten it back, have you?
Nope.
That really
sucks. I never see it again.
You may never. All because of Yoshi.
I know. The fucking dinosaur.
All right. Well, the last piece of news. From Eddie McCooch over at GameSpot.com, Halo the Master Chief Collection PC Edition's first beta test not launching this month after all. At the start of April, 343 Industries announced that they hoped to might be able to release Halo Master Chief Collection for first PC beta during the month. But now it turns out that that's not going to happen. The community director Brian Gerard said on Twitter that the team had to delay the first beta test or flight in the Halo parlance, due in part for the complexity of the project. Here's his full statement. Oh shit, I gotta read it. I gotta zoom in now. Brian Gerard on Twitter at SKE7CH. Well, this tweet didn't age well. Hey, this project is complex, and being transparent means sometimes things change versus what we originally hoped. Work continues with the first public flights are pushing out further than originally targeted. We'll share more info soon. The delay is a bummer, especially because fans have been waiting for so long for Halo the Master Chief Collection to come to PC. But if it's refreshing to hear 343 speak so openly about the development process, there is no word as to when the first flights will be available. But Gerard added that a more in-depth blog post is coming this week with answers. Yeah, man. Yeah, it's gonna take more time, dude. It's not easy porting this shit to PC, especially because it's...
What?
Yeah.
And we've said this before in multiple episodes. Let the developers take the time they need to bring out the best game they can, and everyone's gonna be happy.
Yeah.
Because if they rush it, no one's gonna be happy.
Because then you'll have, like, a fucking glitchy-ass Halo 2.
Yeah, and you're gonna have, you know, the player who hates it, and then you're going to have the developer who's hating life because the player mm-hmm. hates it. And it just spirals from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Brad, that's going to be the end of the news. But, man, I fucking love the first sale we're going to talk about. Because this just shows that Best Buy has too many of these fucking things out in the back. So they said, fuck it. Make a deal where if you buy a PlayStation 4 Pro, you're going to get a free PlayStation Classic with it.
Why don't they just shoot out a t-shirt gun and call it a day? just cannon that shit across the
yeah.
lobby.
So, over at GameStop, Best Buy, you can get a PlayStation Classic if you buy PlayStation Classic for free, if you buy a PS4 Pro. So
that's how much was this thing when it first came out, Raul?
What's up? $100.
How much?
$100.
Yeah, and we've seen it continue to decline down to free.
Well, you know, the PlayStation 4 Pro is not the most it's not an inexpensive console, man. It's pretty expensive, but the fact that they're saying, "Jesus Christ, man, you buy a new console, we're just going to give you this with it."
Yeah, just take this shit. Just steal this shit.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's a yeah, but you guys can go check that out, dude, but $400, man. If you pay $400 for a new PS4 Pro, you'll get another $100 console with it.
I guess you can just use that to, you know, prop your doors open and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, or a nice little coffee table accessory.
Or a frisbee. You can do a frisbee.
That's very true, man. Very true. Look, man, PlayStation needs to call it a day and realize that they made a really bad mistake with this thing. Yeah. Well, the actual sales start now. That was just something I wanted to bring up because that was just so funny. So, ching. We are ready for some sales here. Nintendo Switch Golden Week sale launches with new batch of games deals for the US, UK, and Australia. Let's see what's going on here, man. There's some good stuff, apparently. It's a Golden Week.
I'll have to try to steal my Switch back.
So the Golden Week sale is running through May 7th at 8 a.m. Pacific time. It's going to start on May 7th. May 7th at 8 a.m. 8 a.m. Pacific time, 11 a.m. Eastern time, and 3 p.m. GMT. I don't know what that means. 1 a.m. AET on May 8th. All right, man. Let's see what's on sale here, Brad. This Gaia 1 complete, $40. This Gaia 5 complete, $30. Fallen Legion, Rise of Glory, $30. God Wars, the complete legend, $30. Happy birthdays, Brad, $30. Labyrinth of Refrain, Coven of Dusk, $40. The Liar Princes and the Blind Prince, $15. The Longest 5 Minutes, $20. The Lost Child, $25. Penny Punching Princess, $20. Tohu Genso Wanderer Reloaded, $30. Tohu Kobuto 5 Burst Battle, $12. Yomawari, The Long Night Collection, $30. And then Wise 8 Lacrimosa of Dana, $42.
I'm just gonna throw this out there. I've never heard of any of these games.
I've never heard of any of these games either. But
and then what happened to just Disgaea 2 through 4? I'm just wondering.
Oh my god, I don't know why they just didn't call it Disgaea, not Disgaea 1.
I mean, is there a 2 through 4? Did they just like, fuck it, 5?
I'm really interested to find out what Happy Birthdays is. I'm gonna search this.
It's probably some depressing where like old people die on their birthdays.
Dude, shut up, man. Birthdays, the beginning. Oh my god. Well, hey, can you give me a fucking synopsis, dude? Brad, none of these games are any sign of you getting your fucking Switch back.
Nope. It's staying gone.
From legendary creator Mr. Yoshihiro Wada, Toy Box Incorporated comes Happy Birthdays, a sandbox game in which players create cube-shaped worlds that give rise to diverse and unique life forms. With careful experimentation, players can shape the geography and alter the temperature of the world to create the conditions for life and witness the birth of an entire ecosystem. This actually looks pretty cool.
That sounds kind of cool.
Sounds like Minecraft. Sounds like Minecraft.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, but still, right. This is no way, shape, or form going to get... This is not going
to get... I mean, 50% off of a game I never heard about, so yeah. Cool.
They're not gonna get you your Switch back, Brad.
Mm-mm. They ain't gonna get me.
Well, nope. At least you still have your PlayStation, Brad, because we've got here from GameSpot, as always, the list for what's coming for the Golden Week for PlayStation, the PlayStation Store. As always, it's going to start on Tuesday, May 7th, so here are going to be the deals, Brad. 2064 read-only memories, $7. 428 Shibuya Scramble, $20. Attack on Titan, $242. Dark Souls, $327. Dark Souls Remastered, $32. Dead Cells, $20. Devil May Cry HD Collection, $21. Dragon Ball Fighter Z, $30. Oh, shit. Oh, $24 for PS Plus. Shit. Dragon Ball Fighter Z, Fighter Z Pass, $21. Dragon Ball Fighter Z Ultimate Edition, $66. Dragon Quest 11 Digital Edition of Light, $36. Final Fantasy Royal Edition, $30. Pro Definitive Edition, $879. God Eater 2 Rage Burst, $21. Gravity Rush Remaster, $12. Gravity Rush 2, $14. Jump Force, $42. Still not enough for me to get it. Kingdom Hearts Collection, $90. Kingdom Hearts 3, $42. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, $20. Ooh, that's awesome. Monster Hunter World, $25. I've heard really good things about Monster Hunter World, Brad.
Yeah, and $25, not a bad price.
Yeah. Ooh, this is one of them. I believe you were interested in Nier. In Nier, I don't know how it was called.
Ni no Kuni 2?
No. The one after that.
Neo, the completed it.
Because it was just like a samurai game that was like, what's it called, at E3 as well. But Neo, the complete edition, $30, and then it's $25 for PS Plus. Persona 3 Dancing in Moonlight is a VR, $42, and then the rest, Persona 5 Dancing in Starlight, VR, $42. Resident Evil 2, $45, still a little bit too expensive for me. Resident Evil Revelations 10, Resident Evil Deluxe Origins Bundle, $20. Soul Calibur 6, $42. Street Fighter 5, $10. Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection, $30. Tales of Berseria, $21. Tekken 7, $30. Tokyo Zandu EX Plus, $18. Yakuza 6, The Song of Life, $28. Zero Escape, Zero Time Dilemma, $12. And then Zero Escape, the Nonary Games for $15. I believe the Golden Week is a lot of Japanese games, Brad. At least Japanese developed games.
That's what it's looking like.
Yeah, the Golden Week sale is a nod to the week of national holidays celebrated this time of year in Japan and features Japanese-made or Japanese-inspired games, including popular series like Resident Evil, Persona, Dark Souls, and Dragon Quest.
This explains it. I mean, look at Neo. Yeah. Neo sounds pretty cool. For $30, not bad.
Yeah.
And then what else were we looking at? We were looking at,
by the way, it'd be $25 for you because you're a PS Plus member.
Oh, yeah. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite for PS Plus, $16.
You could never That's go wrong dope. With that. You can never go wrong with that. Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah. Fuck, I wish that Resident Evil 2 was a little bit lower. But Dragon Ball Fighter Z, dude, for $24, it's pretty cool.
I just wish that Jump Force was lower because I think right now it's like $35 on PS Plus.
Really?
I think so.
Shit.
So it's lower than this. Go figure.
Yeah, and Jump Force looks like a really good game. I just wish that I had the money to buy it. Yeah. Plus, I heard the story is pretty cool, too. But mostly it's all the fighting stuff that people are excited about. Microsoft is not going to be celebrating Golden Week, but it is celebrating the unofficial annual holiday known as Star Wars Day, a.k.a. May the 4th. I wish it was a national holiday, Brad. It deserves to be a national holiday.
It's always Cinco de Mayo.
That's true, bro. Yeah. Hey, man, that's just an excuse for why people to go drink.
Yeah, it should just be called Drinko de Mayo.
Yeah.
What it is.
It's really what it is, man. But, yeah, it's like...
Hey, any excuse for me to eat more tacos? I don't need any excuses.
Well, at least you eat the real ones, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, Star Wars games are going to be up to 75% off for May the 4th for the U.S., U.K., and Australia. So, Lego Star Wars, The Force Awakens, $10. Lego Star Wars The Force Awakens Deluxe Edition, $15. Star Wars Battlefront 2, $7.50. Star Wars Battlefront Hoth Bundle, $9.90. And Star Wars Battlefront Ultimate Edition for $5. $7.50 for Star Wars Battlefront 2 ain't that bad, man. Yeah, but this is all on Xbox, by the way, guys. But, yeah. Look, man, Star Wars games, I'm just going to wait for Jedi Fallen Order, honestly.
Yeah, I think that's what we're all waiting for.
Yeah. But, look, by the way, also with Xbox, you can get 12 months of Xbox Live Gold for $40. So a whole year for $40.
That's great. Yeah. That's a really good fucking price.
Yeah, so it's like $20 off from this regular $60. So, yeah, it's pretty good price. It's really, honestly, that's a pretty good price. So you can go get that right now, and you go get that because that's actually not a bad price. So also Steam is celebrating Golden Week, guys. So if you guys want to go and do that, here's some. Jesus, what did I just do to myself?
Yeah, it's basically pretty much all of the other games we've mentioned.
Chrono Trigger for $7.49, though. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm kind of looking, trying to see.
Yeah. Anything else that's different? Because these are all pretty much the same shit. Final Fantasy VII for $6. Final Fantasy XV for $15.
Okami HD, $13. Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sonic Adventure 2, $2.49.
Nice.
Better than the movie.
Yeah, mostly the same stuff, man. Ultimate Marvel versus Capcom 3, $7.49.
But, I guess we can just say go check out Steam for some of these deals because there are really good deals on here.
Yeah. DMC Devil May Cry for $7.49. HD Collection of Devil May Cry for $19.99.
Monster Hunter World though is $39.59, so if you're gonna grab that, go grab it on PS4.
Yeah. But yeah, Steam is doing this Golden Week stuff too. And no, I'm not gonna give you my email address, GameSpot. I love you, but no. ThinkGeek has a site wide flash sale, includes 80% off all clearance items, Brad.
Woo! There I go.
Yeah. This sale only runs for 24 hours, so you'll want to grab whatever you're interested in buying between now and 9 p.m. PT on May the 1st. Oh, well.
Oh, shit, that's today. So if you're hearing this, you're already too late. Sorry.
Already too late, Brad. So here, we'll just find out what we missed out on, Brad.
Actually, it's still kind of going on right now.
Star Wars BBA USB car charger, Brad.
Ooh, I can get a Planet Express ship for $54.99.
Fallout shower curtain. Nintendo Super Nintendo Triptyke. Oh, that's cute. Is that a musical box of Pikachu? Pikachu coin bank. That's awesome.
Ooh.
Yeah. Undertale soundtrack vinyl with two double LP. Star Wars C-3PO and R2-D2 chrome figure set, Brad. The full
figure.
Yeah, that's about $100, Brad. Yeah. The Art of God of War Exclusive Edition. It's going for about... How much is this? How much would this be? This really has me interested. Open up. Let me in. Oh, it's out of stock.
Open the door, ATF.
It's out of stock, Brad. $63, but it was out of stock. Yeah, a lot of these are out of stock already, Brad, so we're kind of screwed here.
God damn it.
Yeah. Well, look, either way, we'll go ahead and go to the last piece of news is the new free PS4 games that were announced for May. Finally, I believe that was Michael the one who was kept on recommending us to play Overcooked? Well, Overcooked and What Remains of Edith Finch are going to be available starting May 7th for PS Plus members.
Ooh.
So I'm gonna get both of them. What is this game, dude? And this looks really nice.
That one sounds cool.
Fans of story-driven games will be pleased to see What Remains of Edith Finch in May's PS Plus lineup. The visually stunning game is rooted in exploration and story, and it's suspenseful without stretching into horror. Like indie classic Gone Home, the story follows Edith as she returns to her family home where three generations of relatives have perished in various tragic accidents. The game made our top 10 list back in 2017. Okay, and earned a 9 out of 10 in GameStop's What Remains of Edith Finch review. Damn. I mean, this looks visually stunning, dude. Wow.
Yeah, I've been looking at that one for a while, but I've never bought it. And now it's free.
Yeah.
Patience is a virtue, kids.
Well, look, that's it for the news. We're going to go into the little mini discussion. We're going to talk about the Borderlands 3 gameplay reveal. And then we'll be saying goodbye for here for you guys. But in the meantime, let's go ahead and get into talking about that Borderlands 3 gameplay, bro. Shit looks pretty fucking fire, dude. I'm not going to lie. I played... What's up?
The only thing I can compare it to, really, is like a Cyberpunk 2077 meets Mad Max. That's what I'm comparing it as.
All right, yeah. Sounds awesome, awesome. Yeah, dude, it looks really, really good. I like that some of the stuff that we were seeing in there. I played Borderlands 1 and 2, and I'm not gonna lie, bro, they were pretty fucking fun. So, Brad, does this have you anywhere near excited to possibly, you know, get this game sometime soon?
I mean, it looks really good, and depending on reviews, I might. And maybe if it's multiplayer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, usually it is multiplayer, because the first two were actually co-op. I did play co-op with some friends. So it looks really, really fun, dude. And a lot of people were talking about this on my Twitter timeline, Brad. But here, holy shit, did I just almost fuck up my microphone?
No.
Here. I want to see if there's any details about this that we're missing out on. Gameplay details.
Give me the beats.
So, great, IGN. Thank you. We encourage you to read our updated privacy policy and cookie policy. Okay.
Yeah, talk a lot.
I just want to play. I mean, I just want to read this fucking article, man. Are you not going to let me? Jesus Christ. I hate when this. I know that you guys need ads to survive, but if your ads could stop freezing my goddamn computer, that'd be really nice.
Sadness.
Jesus fucking Christ. What am I? Okay. Great. Okay. So, let me give you some info about this game, my friends. Certain weapons will also feature an alternate fire mode. And the example shown in the demo is an assault rifle that can be toggled to a hyper missile launcher. Sounds so fucking cool.
Yeah,
that's actually pretty fucking cool, Brad. Changes to the skill free system were also evident. Each of the four playable characters now begins the game with 3 action skills instead of 1, with more unlocking as the player levels up. Action skills can also be augmented with elemental effects. Elsewhere, the tweaks to the franchise's formula seem numerous in Borderlands 3. Ammunition vending machines now feature a single button press instant refill option, so you're not forced to stop and scroll through the items. And players can now heal and be healed by NPCs such as Claptrap. At one point in the gameplay demo, the view switched perspectives between the two players in co-op in order to highlight the previously announced change to the loot system. It showed that single instances of weapon can be picked up by multiple players. In that level, the weapons automatically scales relative to the level of the individual player. That's pretty fucking cool. Borderlands 3 will offer both loot and level scaling for players, but a classic mode will also allow players to experience Borderlands 3 the way Borderlands 1 and 2 played in regards to levels and loot. Yeah, that's cool, man. The biggest reveal of the demo was the player's spaceship. named Sanctuary 3, a hub world for players to use in exploring the galaxy. The hulking mobile hub is home to numerous returning characters such as Mad Moxie and contains an infirmary, a bar with gambling machines, individual quarters for four main characters that can be customized, and even a lost and found machine for any loot you lose track of down on a planet's surface. Damn, that's a lot coming to this game, dude. It looks really cool. And Alex was telling me about this, that she was really excited for this, and this is something that she's looking forward to a lot. And as somebody who did play those last two Borderlands games, now actually reading the details that are coming in the game, this looks so much fun. It does look like something I'd be interested in, and especially because it's a co-op game, so you and I would be able to play it together.
Yes, we could die together. Is there team killing?
What's up?
Is there team killing?
No.
Aw.
No. You're an asshole for asking that, because I know you want a team kill.
Yes, all the time.
All right. Well, you know what you can get all the time, but you don't have to buy a game. You can go and pledge a dollar to our Patreon page, and you get these episodes a day early, along with shows like the Nerd Chicano Show, the Weebcore, which already has an episode ready for you guys. Comes out the day that this comes out, but Patreon supporters get it on Thursdays. Like the Gamercorn, they get it on Thursdays, a day before Friday. So that's awesome. And shows like the Impert Files, you'll get for a whole week early. So good old news coming about that on May the 10th. But yeah, thank you guys. And make sure you go and pledge your $1. You can get these episodes a day early. And we could use the 7 more people to reach our goal of relaunching the Nerdcore live show. Thank you to our executive producer, Grayson Barker, for the wonderful patronage at the $15 tier. You are awesome, dude. And you are what make these shows happen. So thank you. Thank you. For $15 a month, you get Patreon producer status at the executive level. A good old pins and stickers as they're made. And postcard every month. A postcard every time we send those pins and stickers, bro. So that's that. And I hope you guys go and check out Warlord Hitman 98 on Twitter. Grayson Barker 98 on Instagram. That's Grayson. So go and show him some love. Tell him that the boys at the Gamer Core, a.k.a. the Nerd Core, send them over. Send you over. Brad, go ahead and tell them where they can find you on the internet.
RandomGerm 101 everywhere.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the Nerd Chicano. You can find Ashley at XArtemisX with a 3 instead of an E. You can go follow us on Twitter at the Nerdcore _ Instagram at the Nerdcore, Facebook page, the Nerdcore Pods. Go and join the Nerdverse, the official Nerdcore group, so you can talk all the nerd shit that you want. That includes video games, my friends. Also, make sure that you leave a rave review on your podcast app of choice. But it's been a fun time with just Brad and I. But hopefully Ashley's here next week, because you guys can only take so much stupid from us too. So Brad, send him into the podcast void.
All right, Raul, thank you for being host as always. Thank you to all our listeners out there, all our Patreon supporters. We truly appreciate it. And I guess in the next episode, Raul gets teabagged. Young Yoda out.
Fucking asshole.